Good morning and welcome to worship with Greystone Baptist. Greystone's a place where all people are welcome. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. It doesn't matter how much faith you think you can bring to the table or how much doubt and how many questions you might have. All are welcome here. Come as you are. Bring all the faith that you have to this community of grace. Today, we are reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, a very, very familiar text. Or at least I should say a chapter that contains a very, very familiar verse, John 3:16. I bet many of us memorize this verse as children or teenagers or as new Christians in young adulthood. But today I will challenge us to take a step back and to consider the context of John's gospel and the story of Nicodemus, who asks the question which prompts the response. And as we consider the context, I wonder how God might speak to us today about what it means to be a disciple and what it means to be spirit-born. So with a spirit of openness, we ask that God come into this place, come into our lives, and show us how the Spirit is moving and working among us, around us, and within us. Let us worship God together today.
Your people come to lift a prayer. Help us worship you, Lord. We feel your Spirit. We know you're there. Help us worship you, Lord. It doesn't matter where we are, if we're together . There's a yearning in our hearts to worship you. Help us worship you. Help us worship you. Guide the things we say and do. Worship you. When we feel scattered and feel alone, help us worship you, Lord. When we feel distant and on our own, help us worship you, Lord. We long to meet and to embrace, to express your love and grace. Lord, help us find the way to worship you. Worship you. Help us worship you. Guide the things we say and do. Help us worship you. Worship you, Lord, and in the future, come what may, help us worship you, Lord. When we are silent and cannot sing, till you hear the praise we bring to worship you. guide the things we say and do. Help us worship you.
Hi friends, it's good to see you today. I'm out here enjoying the weather. It feels like it's going to rain. And I can hear the birds chirping. And I think the sunshine might pop out in just a little while. But when I was thinking about the rain, it reminded me that when it rains, and then when the rain and the sunshine take turns, and we get a little bit of rain and some sunshine too, then we get new life. I've been watching all kinds of new flowers pop up in my yard, and bunny rabbits and little baby bunny rabbits all crawling and hopping around my yard. It's been so fun to see all the new life all around me. That is one of my favorite parts of spring and summer, is all the new life that we get to see. And I started thinking about that in our scripture for today. Our scripture comes from John chapter 3. We're going to read a lot of verses today in worship, but I want you to listen for a couple of words when you hear the scripture read. One of the things you're going to hear is about being born again. That's kind of confusing because you think you can only be born one time, right? Well, in the Bible, when it talks about being born again, it's not talking about being born like a baby in a hospital or even out of a mommy's belly. Being born again is when you really understand God's love and your heart grows bigger so that you can feel all of God's love and you can share all of God's love. And when you realize that the whole reason that God created you and God created this whole earth was to show us how much God loves us. And the scripture keeps going and it talks about when we really understand that, how that means that we are born again. When we understand that Jesus loves us and when we want to give that love away to other people, then that's when we're born again. And it keeps going and it talks about how God sent Jesus to earth and how sometimes, you know, a long time ago and sometimes even today, people think that God sent Jesus to tell them how to do it right and to kind of fuss at them and make them get their life in order. But that's not really why God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus to teach us how to love. God sent Jesus to show us exactly how much God loves us. And the story keeps going and tells us about how Jesus died and that Jesus was showing us that when we die, we don't just die and go nowhere. We die and go to heaven because we believe in that love of God. And so we get to hear one of the verses that you might have already memorized, and I bet you anything your parents have memorized it. John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him won't die, but they'll live in heaven forever." I love that verse. It makes me so happy to know that heaven is real and that heaven is a place where we can live forever. And I really like knowing that. I also like really remembering that God loves us no matter what we do. That God always loves us. And when we actually accept that love and take it into our hearts and we really believe it, then that means that we are going to get to see heaven and we are going to get to see all the other people that are still living in heaven, and it's going to be a glorious day. But you got a lot of time left before that happens. But it is such a good thing, and I want you to listen for those words this morning. And I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go outside and I want you to see if you can hear the birds chirping and see if you see any new life in your yard. I want to hear about it. Have you seen new flowers or baby bunnies? Or if you come to my yard, you'll see some baby chipmunks. And I want to hear all about the new life that you found and what things are being born again. I have plants in my yard that every year they die and every year they come back and they get to be born again, and I think that's cool. And it's a cool reminder that we're born again too. When we love God and when we show that love to other people, that's a reminder that we are born again through God's love. See you soon.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of today. We thank you for our fellow believers, our families, our neighbors, and our friends. We are aware that there are so many hurting and needy people in our communities and around the world. We lift them up to you and ask that you would bless them, comfort them, help them. May your peace fill their hearts. We also pray that you would use us to help others. We ask that you open our eyes and make us aware of opportunities we have to bless others in need. Help us to not be selfish. Help us to share. We pray for our church, Lord, that you will guide us. We pray for our staff and for our members, past and present, and also for those that you will lead to join us. Help us to spread the love of Christ every day and not look for the differences between our fellow brothers and sisters and ourselves. Teach us to focus on what binds us together. We pray for our nation and her leaders. Give them wisdom and compassion. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy every day. We pray that you will hold our servicemen and women in your strong arms. Cover them with your sheltering grace and your presence as they stand in the gap for our protection. Let our military brothers and sisters feel our love and support. We also remember the families of our troops. We ask your unique blessings to fill their homes, and we pray your peace and strength will fill their lives. Lord, we are here today to bless your name. Please accept our worship and bless us. Amen.
Today's New Testament scripture passage comes from John 3, verses 1 through 21. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Some of you may know that I was able to get away and spend a couple of days with my sister at the beach a couple of weeks ago. We were there to celebrate her completion of Army boot camp, something that she had been thinking about doing for almost 20 years. Something her 38-year-old body was challenged to complete. This was indeed something worth celebrating, and I felt completely honored to be able to go along with her to celebrate this achievement. As awesome as it was to be away for that specific reason and celebrating her, it was also a real gift to me. I honestly cannot remember the last time that I was able to get away from my home and spend time with just one of my sisters or all of my sisters, but just to be away. Away from all the responsibilities of everyday life. There were no emails to check. There were no phone calls to answer, no dogs to take out or to feed. No child needing my attention, no dinner to prepare, no clutter to clean up, no yard work to do, no meetings to attend. There was nowhere I had to be except exactly where I was. It was amazing. The strangest thing happened, though, as I was spending time with my sister, I began to notice that as different as we are, we seem to be aging in many of the same ways. Now, I have three sisters, and we are all as different could be. But Melanie and I spent most of our lives together. We're only 18 months apart in age, and since she is older, and don't tell her I told you she was older, but since she is, I have never known life without her. Our childhood stories are wrought with conflict and argument as she and I sorted out our relationship with very different personalities and preferences and ways of seeing the world straight out of the womb. Over the years, we've learned how to get along and even appreciate and respect and love one another despite those many, many differences. But we have remained as different as they come. So you might imagine my surprise last week when I started to notice that we are walking the same way now. We're holding our purses the same way. We're making similar expressions and movements. Our backs are starting to hurt in all the same places. And we even have some of the same mannerisms. Our voices are even starting to sound the same. It's weird, but there is no denying it now. The two of us are indeed daughters of the same parents. We come from the same gene pool. Different as we think we are both children of Dawn and Bill Tatum. And in many ways, we're turning into Dawn and Bill Tatum. As I listen to my sister tell me her stories from boot camp of how she's reading the New Testament now straight through all the way, something she started while she was away, I couldn't help but remember that as different as we might believe we are, in addition to being born of the same biological parents and raised in the same household, we are first and foremost children of God, born of the same Spirit. In today's reading from the Gospel of John, a man named Nicodemus approaches Jesus in the night, wanting to know how one can be born of the Spirit. How can one be born after growing old, he asks. Can one really enter the womb a second time and be born? Jesus' response is characteristically open-ended, reinforcing the necessity of being born from above, while also reminding Nicodemus that the wind, let me remind you, wind here is the same word for spirit. The wind blows where it chooses. You can hear the sound of it, Jesus says, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. How can this be? Nicodemus wants to know. How is this possible? This is the last we will hear from him until chapter 7, when he shows up again, hanging out with his fellow Pharisees, and the heat is rising around Jesus and his unprecedented ministry. In the second appearance of Nicodemus in John chapter 7, the authorities, meaning the police, in collaboration with religious institutional leadership, of which Nicodemus would have been a part, they are wanting to arrest Jesus, to put an end to his controversial claims and miracles and Sabbath healings. They want him gone. In the first interaction with Nicodemus, Nicodemus leaves, and he leaves us wondering where things really stand between him and Jesus. We hear his questions, but we don't really get a sense of resolution. He sort of just vanishes. Why did he come in the middle of the night? Was he afraid that he might have been seen by one of his friends? If he went to Jesus in the daylight, is that why he chose to come and bring his questions to Jesus under the cover of darkness? There was a lot of tension between the temple and the Jesus movement. Nicodemus, being a Pharisee and a leader, would have had a lot to lose should he become associated with Jesus. And in the time in which John's gospel was being written, disciples and early Christians were being excommunicated from temple Judaism for shifting their allegiance and embracing the way of Jesus. Was Nicodemus sympathetic to their cause and trying to cover his tracks while he went to find out more? He leaves the first interaction with Jesus, the one in chapter 3, without any kind of resolution. In fact, he just vanishes from the scene altogether. And Jesus kind of pivots and turns to the disciples and the others who were gathered. He moves from a conversation with Nicodemus into a monologue, a theological discourse. The second time Nicodemus shows up in John's gospel, in chapter 7, he raises yet another question. This time, reveling in his sympathy to Jesus' fair treatment under the law of the land, Nicodemus asks his friends a prodding question as they are continuing to search for a reason to arrest him. Nicodemus challenges, "Our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they're doing, does it?" We won't hear or see Nicodemus again until the story of John's gospel nears its end. That will be the third time that we see Nicodemus in the story. It is Nicodemus who shows up with Joseph of Arimathea, bringing oils to anoint and to prepare Jesus' body for burial after the crucifixion. John tells us that Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple because he was afraid of the religious establishment. Joseph was afraid of the consequences of being a public disciple. It makes me wonder if somewhere in the background between those three interactions with Jesus, those three appearances of Nicodemus in John's gospel, did he also become a secret disciple? But thinking back on that first encounter, the verses that we read earlier today that we're focusing on for our service, when Nicodemus first shows up in the darkness and wants to know, how can this be? How is it that one can be born of the Spirit? How can one be a child of God? How can one live in the kingdom, the dwelling place of God, after being born here on earth of the flesh? You know, I see a lot of myself in Nicodemus. His questions, they make so much logical sense, do they not? But I also find it easy to understand why someone in his position, someone with social, financial, and political stability, might travel to Jesus in the darkness of night. I can easily understand why he might not have wanted to be seen. After all, he was just starting to investigate this guy. He wasn't committing yet to anything outside of the institutions that had built him up and supported him to this point in his life. He knew that stepping out and seeking after Jesus in the daylight would lead to him being cut off from his family of origin, so to speak, his family of the temple. For Nicodemus and for others like him, this was an either-or situation. This was not a place for both and. He had to choose whether he would keep the life that he had always known or whether he would allow himself to be born into a new family altogether. The consequences were as real as the choice that was before him. And he so wanted to know how it could all work out. How could it be that I could be born of the Spirit? He wants to know. After I have been born of the flesh, how can I be born of God? Maybe it wasn't fear at all. Maybe it wasn't fear that led Nicodemus to seek Jesus under the cover of night. Maybe it was guilt or shame even. We don't know a lot about his past, but we might assume that the legalism of his current environment left little room for mistakes or for grace. Maybe Nicodemus wasn't afraid of being seen by others. Maybe Nicodemus was afraid of being seen for who he really was. A sinner, a human being, someone with a full past, full of brokenness, full of pain, full of poor choices. How could someone like that be spirit born? How could that be? How could God allow him a place at the table in the kingdom of God? How could God welcome a sinner like him into God's own family? How could it be? Whatever the reason for Nicodemus's approach, Jesus doesn't explain it with intellectual certainty about all the mysteries of God, the mysteries of divine rebirth. He simply affirms that it is possible, that it does happen. We may not know how Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. We just know that he did, Jesus implies. We do not know how God's kingdom is taking shape in the world. We just know that it is. We may not be able to rationally understand the invitation for us to join this new family. We just know that we are invited. And in that invitation, we experience a love unlike anything we could have ever known anywhere else. How is one born of the Spirit? Love. For God so loved the world, Jesus tells Nicodemus. God did not send me into the world to condemn it, no, but to save it. In this first encounter, in John chapter 3, Jesus is offering Nicodemus a new family, a new life, and a new identity as a child of God. And with it comes an experience of God's love that is unconditional and unparalleled. But it does not come without a cost. What this first encounter in chapter 3 reminds us is that a disciple of Jesus is not born in secret. One cannot be spirit-born and then return to business as usual when the dawn breaks with its piercing light. No, being spirit-born changes our whole identity and demands our fullest commitment. Nicodemus cannot be born by the Spirit until he is ready to be a disciple in broad daylight, in front of his friends, at the temple, and when everybody is looking. Nicodemus cannot be spirit-born until he is willing to give up the privileges of his current position. Nicodemus cannot be spirit-born with one foot in and one foot out. And perhaps that's the lesson for us today. Maybe we're afraid of being exposed for what we are and for the truth that we proclaim. Maybe we are afraid that if we live our lives and our faith too publicly, our friends will think that we're too radical or worse, too simple-minded. What would people think if they saw us spending too much time with those whom Jesus would prefer to spend time with? The sick, the poor, the unworthy, and perhaps the unclean. How would our colleagues see us if we started thinking in terms of love before money, or love before logic, or love before anything else at all? What would people think? Or maybe that's not it. Maybe we're ashamed that if we allowed ourselves to be fully seen, fully exposed, all out in broad daylight, would God even want us anymore? Would we be welcomed at the table in God's kingdom just as we are? Would God take back the invitation if God could see everything that we like to keep hidden? According to Jesus, the answer is a resounding and unconditional yes. Yes to that invitation. Yes, God will invite us no matter what we bring to the table, because God is full of nothing but love. For God so loved the world, the whole world and everybody in it. For God so loved the world, God came into the world through the person of Jesus to save that world, which God loved. Not to condemn it, but in the experience of salvation, in the experience of this salvation that Jesus is here to proclaim, in the experience of being born from above, we are changed into the children of God. We are changed, which is a transformation that cannot be partially done. We cannot claim Christ in the darkness and Caesar in the daylight. We cannot put one foot in and one foot out. If we are going to be born of the Spirit, we've got to be all in. And friends, I hope, like Nicodemus, we will continue to return to Jesus as we work it all out for ourselves, trying to understand the mystery of God and the unimaginable measure of grace offered to us in that invitation. Maybe at first it's too much to take on. Maybe the stakes are too high and the risk is too great. But even still, I hope that we will keep showing up in the night, in the morning, and in the blazing rays of the noonday sun, bringing all of our fears, all of our guilt, all of our shame, and all of our honest questions and doubt to the one who will always respond with love for us, and a love that compels us forward. I hope that at the end of our stories, we, like Nicodemus, will show up when it counts and will prove ourselves to be true disciples, not just secret ones. And if by luck we have the opportunity to step away for a moment, to reflect and take stock of our lives, I hope that we prove ourselves to be disciples. I wonder if we were to look back. I wonder if from those moments where we are able to get away and look back and reflect, I wonder what kind of family resemblance we might find. Would we see the genetic makeup of power and privilege revealing us as children of the flesh? Or would the greater trait of love overshadow it all, proving that in the end, we really were born of the Spirit? May it be so. Amen.
Living in light, in darkness, in you we keep our trust, we'll let our eyes adjust. Living in light, in darkness, death will be overcome, because your love lights our way, leading us home. Living in light, in darkness, in you we keep our trust, we'll let our eyes adjust. Living in light, in darkness, death will be overcome, because your love lights our way, leading us home.
good morning and thank you for joining us. Let's take a moment and check in with how we can be a part of the life of Greystone in the coming week. First, I want to remind you that Monday, our church is closed in observance of Memorial Day. The church office is closed. Our pastors are still available to you through the on-call number if you should need us for an emergency, and you can find that number in your email. So don't hesitate to call us if you have an emergency and need us for pastoral care. Also remind you that your deacon ballots have been mailed to you. You should have gotten those in the mail this week. If you did not get enough for all of the members of your family that have joined Greystone as membership, your email tells you how to take care of printing some more of those. But if you would do us a favor and put those in the mail and have them postmarked by June 9th so that we can receive them in time for our vote on Sunday, June 13th. So if you would do that for us, we'd be greatly appreciative, and we are already so grateful for all of those who have agreed to serve in that capacity in the coming years. Our adult choir is worshiping together and practicing together in person again, finally, and we are so excited about that. If you are interested in singing with our adult choir and joining those practices, if you would contact Pastor Christian McIver, he will get you all of that information about when and where they're doing that and how they are following COVID protocols to make sure that that is a safe space and a way to rehearse together. Next week is Graduate Sunday. We will worship together in our outdoor space over near the Sawmill parking lot, where we've been worshiping on those first Sundays for a few months now. We will recognize our two high school graduates, and we would love for you to join us. There is also going to be a drive-through celebration on that day. If you come to in-person worship, when you leave worship, I'm going to ask you to simply drive out of our Sawmill lot and drive over to the lead mine lot and pull through that circle there by the office so that you can offer your well wishes to them, drop off cards if you would like. And then if you are staying home for worship and you want to come later, we will do that drive through again from 12:30 to 1 o'clock. So you can either do it directly after worship at 11 o'clock or you can do it at 12:30. So we will see you in worship at 10 a.m. that morning. So at 10 o'clock Sunday morning outside, we'd love to have you as we celebrate Robert and Michael and their graduation from high school. So come join us. We'd love to see you. Hope you all have a great week this week.
Family in Christ, sisters and brothers, friends, as you leave this time of worship, going forth back to your lives, as disciples, daylight disciples, followers of Jesus with nothing to hide, go forth with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your hands and heal through them. May God take your feet and walk with them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.